Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, Bedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Source Miner Hunter joins me to talk guests every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Source of call ID 17702 or Starfleet SFU On Call. And of course, we also co-broadcast on the Twitch TV website. So just go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call. You want to go over there. I also pay attention very much so with the chat room. So I can't wait to see you there. If you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my account there is also sfuoncall. That's where I post what the topic for the week is and also the YouTube video links. And if you want to, you can follow my personal account. That's Paul Franz. That's P-A-U-F-R-A-N-Z. Also, just a reminder, if you follow me, I am very passionate about being an O's fan, being Catholic, and also technology, because I love technology. So if any of those don't, you don't like, don't follow me then. That's sage advice. And of course, I have my Franz Games account, which I use for announcing things like changes to the online client and things happening in Starfleet Warlord. And of course, this Tech Talk Cast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Not much going on with A to B this week. It's been pretty darn quiet. Not sure why, but it's been quiet. So just keep an ear out on that. When it comes to the current only tournament running at the moment, which is the Masters Tournament, that seems to be going well. In that also, there Sapphire Star tournament will be opening up for the next one on Saturday. I'm gonna be busy this weekend. I can tell you that now. And moving onward and forward. When it comes to the online client, there is a bug for those people. Probably using Linux because of the other platforms. I think people just use the embedded JVM. People in Linux don't upgrade the JDK 16, which is the absolute latest, because it looks like there's a little incompatibility between one of the libraries and the client, so it breaks things. Like, you will not see the counters. I'm not sure why it breaks that. It just does. I'm surprised it doesn't show up in some other fashion. So, but anyway, moving onward to the libraries, nothing happening with the SFB library, but the FedCom library is all the way up to 385 ship on for the squadron size and 201 on the fleet size. I got Chris Nuzzi working hard on that, and also looks like Sebastian's also willing to help out, and I got to contact Chris about that, and hopefully we all three of us can work together and make sure that we get as much done as quickly as possible so we can add as many ships to that library as quickly as possible. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, so I'm Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we got me. So if you're disappointed that Gary, Barry, or other of our most wonderful friends are not here, sorry. It is what it is. Is what it is. So, with that, well, I was figuring on a topic for tonight, which was, at least to start off with, SFB Online, the future. And that's with a question mark. Now, here's the thing. This is the reason why I bring this up. This past week, it's past 2 weeks to be Now I think about it. And that is that I've had at least two people, actually three people. Hey, Chris. Actually come to me and say, oh, in the case of two of them, can you restore what I previously had there? I don't like the what they didn't say this, but I read it. Yeah, Dave, Andrew's rule. And that is that they don't like what I'm doing to improve the client. And unfortunately, I knew that some people weren't going to like the change because they're used to having a certain way. And it's like, I'm sorry. There are certain changes I have to make, and I cannot make it backwards compatible. I can't have a switch go, oh, do it this way or this way. No. And I cannot afford for myself and for the limited amount of time I have to actually be able to develop the client, because I'm a busy person. And that is that I can't basically do branches. I can't have one say, oh, here's what I'll maintain the old client. I will never change it. I might do bug fixes, but I'm not going to prove it any way, shape, or form. But it'll be compatible, so some people who want the new version can get the new version, and you can use the older version. And, but do any bug fixes that are found out and so forth, any necessary changes to keep it compatible. I don't have time to do that. I have time to work on one version. I do a little branching locally, and that's the only reason I even do that is just for the sense of if I need to table that work, I can table it and say, okay, instead of releasing it this now, I'm going to release that in a future version because like some critical bug comes up and people need a fix for it. Which reminds me, I saw a bug which was previously noticed, and I need to look at it again because it's a one on Windows where basically the mouse is getting stuck, and I'm not sure if I fixed it or not because of I think I know what the issue is. Actually, I know part of the issue, but I'm not sure how I get into the situation where basically the mouse gets stuck into this one mode. And that mode is to have, so you click down and then you can drag the map around, which is a very nice feature. And people like that feature. So when people like that feature, I want to keep that going, So the given that, I don't want that broken, but I've never experienced myself. I've only got reported by one person. I found out they were on Windows. My guess is also another one on Windows. This is going to be one of those, Java things where you write once and debug everywhere. That's been the saying for many, many years. Excuse me. Okay, there it is. Okay. I apologize for those people on the video stream for that slight pause because I was noticing on the stream for Twitch that actually the camera was not in focus. So they could hear my lovely voice, but I was looking really, off, out of focus. I don't know why that happens, but it does every once in a while. So strangely enough, putting my hand in front of it really close and then remove it, it then forces it to refocus and fixes the problem. Strangely, but it works. Moving onward. So given that, and there was another one, which is, this one person, actually Jonathan, asked me for a feature, which actually was in the previous version of the client. And I removed it because I originally had a setting so that the scroll wheel could either be used for zooming or the scroll wheel could be used for scrolling. Now, the biggest issue with scrolling itself is that you can only scroll one direction using the scroll wheel. up and down. There's no way. When it comes to the Microsoft normal mouse, or this kind of mouse, but it has the scroll wheel, you have one direction. Now, if you're on, okay, I don't have it here. Actually, I gave my one away, which is the Apple Magic Mouse, which I like a lot. I gave it up because I got this one, and this one works fine. And I'm happy with it. And I'm doing my best to reduce all the clutter that my life has upon me. Which actually, just to digress for a moment there, I've already moved once. And then I moved from a 3,200 square foot house to a 1,400 square foot house. So obviously I had to trim down my belongings a bit. And that was fine. And then I had a fire. And so anything that I had stored in the attic, it's possible that might have gotten destroyed. And some of it did. In the case of a lot of my Christmas stuff, that's gone, which is disappointing because of some of those are my childhood memories when it comes to there was a few ornaments that I kept from my mother's, because I'm doing my best not to gather up lots of stuff. So I lost that. So I trimmed down that. Well, I'm trimming down again, because I'm going through all this, like some of these book stuff I've had. Actually, there's one book I have here, which I'm not going to give up, even though I've had it for 30 years, I think. And it's a book on programming in Forth, which to those people who are normals will go, Forth? What the heck's Forth? Yeah, it's a stack-based language. If you've ever done an old HP calculator where it was called RPN, reverse Polish notation, the idea is that you put the numbers in, and then you do the operations on those numbers. So it's kind of a stack. Well, that's how Forth programming worked. You put things on the stack, and it actually was kind of cool. I haven't played with Forth for years, but I got the book. It's like I really should get rid of it, but at the moment I can't take myself to actually get rid of that because I always liked Forth, and maybe I'll pick it up just to look at it, and oh yes, Chris has an old HP 42, yeah. When it comes to me, I always had the HP, I had the TIs, the Texas Instruments ones, like the TI 55 and things like that. Postfix notation, yes. Yes, Jonathan, or Iggy. Understood, Iggy, when it comes to, you can only shift scroll, but at the same time, I'm trying to do an Apple approach when it comes to the online client. I.e. remove a lot of the options. Limit the options to those that are required. Because Lord knows, anyone who actually I'd like to know how I did it because I don't remember doing any kind of programming when it comes to right-left scrolling. How do you know that the old client used to do both? Because my understanding was that you didn't have it installed before you were able to install it on the Linux box, but maybe I misunderstood when you said you can't play it because it won't work on your old Linux box. But I'm trying to keep the number of options down because there's so many options which I knew about, I knew how to use. I don't think there's a single person out there that did it. For example, there was the ability to have multiple chat rooms not related to games. And to this day, I might have seen a single one chat room ever created. That was not a built-in chat room. There's two built-in chat rooms that can that are normally can be used. One is the SFB bullpen, and then that I had, I'm not sure if I think I still have it, which is the FedCom. When you bring it up in FedCom mode, that it has its own kind of bullpen chat room where people who play FedCom can go and join and play FedCom. You know, the whole idea was that they're separate ones. Oh, okay. Iggy saying that, so Iggy, you know a little bit about Java when you mentioned J scroll pane. Yeah. Oh, yeah. J scroll pane can scroll either direction. That is very true. But it's the functionality of, okay. Let me go back on the functionality of the scrolly wheel. Just to let you know, I've had issues in the past with a scrolly wheel in that if you try to switch back and forth between the two, it gets kind of goofy. Most probably is that with the scroll wheel, what you were seeing, I got to check to see how I used to do that. Because I think I might just let it go into the built-in functionality. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I either had it so that I turned it on or turned it off. The built-in functionality of the scroll pane. So, possibly shift scroll wheel, would actually shift, would go left and right. But if you try switching back and forth between the zoom and non-zoom when it comes to scroll wheel, it didn't always work. Sometimes it just broke it completely. I think it's on my Mac. Now, I'm going back to the some of the functionality some of these I'm willing to bet you I don't have a single person that used. For example, now they might have used it way back when, but I don't think so anymore. And that is one of the things that I actually gave people the ability to do is actually set the cell size. So you can actually kind of, quote unquote, set the zoom in level. I don't think there's a single person that actually used that. I used to do that sometimes because the reason why I did it a lot of times was to actually set a certain cell size. I needed because I wanted to print it out on a piece of paper. And the way to get a hex map for me, the easiest way to do that was actually use the client to create one, do a screen capture, and then print it out. That's what I would do. Zoom has buttons for, also you have hotkeys for too, which I'm sure most people don't know about or don't even look at. But yeah, you can actually zoom up, zoom back using the keyboard. Okay, Chris. Yeah, that question. Why? Why do you want to scroll? So you're saying that when it comes to the map edge, what you want to do is you want to scroll further than the map edge so that the map just keeps on scrolling so you have empty space? Is that what you want? And if so, why? Because that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Okay, go to the left map edge. Okay, that's the left-hand side. And you scroll past it. So basically all you're showing is a blank area. If you can scroll past the left edge. How far past the left edge do you allow people to scroll? Twice the size of the map? Count Often counters are hidden by controls to the left. Yeah, Chris, send me a screenshot of that, because I don't know how you have a control hiding counters. The only time I can ever see that is if you have the game control window on over, you know, one set to be on top of the game window. There's always on top of the game window. Otherwise, you can put that in the background. Or any other window that pops up, you know. And you know, because even if you, yeah. I have a hard time imagining it, Chris. I really do. You know, because, yeah, just. The only way to see the counters is to make the map very small. The only time please send me a screenshot, because when it comes to seeing making counters, you know, the map very small. To me, I make map very small so that I can see all the counters on the board at one time. I just do it on the screen. That's the only time I've ever done that. And I've never had a problem with the counters being hidden by controls. Now, yeah, because currently, there's one thing I'm working on now, which I can see have giving you issues, which is one thing I wanted to do before, which is basically have changed the toolbar, which is currently docked to the top of the window, to pop it off that and have it so that it's one, it's always floating. Two, it is designed to be horizontal. I mean, sorry, to be vertical instead of horizontal, which requires to change things around a bit, because of currently, if you can, in theory, at the moment, and I don't think there's, again, this is one of those things I don't think people ever try. And the only reason that I know is there's because I've done it, or I designed it back 10 years ago. Because it's a function, I'm sure Iggy knows this, which is a function of the J toolbar, which is a Java class for those normals out there. And you can actually click on it, and then you can drag it to dock on the left and right hand side of the window. Oh, understood that you don't like them on the left or right. Now, at the moment, if you have it on the left or right, it looks awful. That's because of I designed it, I fixed it so it looks really nice in horizontal positioning. Well, the problem with having it all nice and neat on the horizontal positioning is that if you ever want it vertical, it looks awful. Now, the reason why here's the reason why I want to make it floating and make it vertical is because that's what all the new modern games do. This is the modern changes that I want to implement. And here's the thing that bugs me greatly. I announced this months ago in multiple forums. I announced it on Facebook. I announced it on the discussion board, I explicitly did the discussion board because I know that's where the old timers run. That's where they do most of their stuff. Those are the people that have been around for ages. And I figured those are the people that I can change things, I can tweak things, and they'll probably be good soldiers, or whatever you want to say it, whatever how you want to say it, and they'll stay with us. And they will continue to play SFB on SFB Online, and you know, still re-up their subscriptions and so forth. But the whole idea is I'm trying to open this up for more players, and obviously with help of Chris, we are working towards getting the FedCom portion much better. You know, when it comes to the library aspects, and I'm doing my best to. I've changed it over the past what year or so. I think the good way of where originally it was very tight. It was an experiment, and it was a failed experiment. Is what it was. Where basically. The only way to fire weapons from the ships, you had to click on each of the weapons on the SSD card itself, on the ship card itself. And I think a lot of people did not like that. And of course, some of the stuff is still there. For example, I still have the EA and how that's pretty controlling about the energy and how it does all that thing. But originally it didn't allow you to correct the energy allocation to see, okay, how much energy actually left in on the ship. I changed that a while back, you know, you set the energy, but you know, that part is still there. But now things are a little bit easier. You don't have to, I have it so that, you know, for the ships, you can actually just say, okay, it has the big list. If you ever play the SFB portion of the client, they have this big list. And that list shows all the weapons that you can fire. And I changed it so that the FedCom has the same thing. Now, it still has not lost the functionality, but if you want to, you can click on things, and more importantly, when you actually have it in that list of things that you want to fire, it will highlight those weapons. So it shows you, okay, what weapons are you firing? And then you click fire and it will fire the weapons and take the energy out of the amount of energy left in the ship and so forth. Which is, you know, quite cool. It's, in my mind, it's a lot better in some respects in that it tries to manage the energy better or more automatically. Here's the problem that I found, and Lord knows it gets back to trying to make it too automated. And that is that if you get it wrong when it comes to weapons, their states, and that, because I did something which I'm very proud of. Which I basically, I created a class, you know, in the code so that it basically tracks states. And then for the weapons, so if you went from this state to this state, it would list what is kind of an action to get from state to state. Whether it was just, you know, I want to overload it. That is kind of the action. And that puts you into the overloaded state. And to do that, that action takes so much energy. Now, the issue is if I get the states wrong, or I get the amount of energy to go from one state to another state wrong, it makes it hard to correct. Currently, instead of having it so that it will automatically fill it for you and then you can correct it, it just automatically fills it for you and you can't touch it. So that's one of those ones that, because currently with SFB, he doesn't do any of it for you. You have to sit down and plug in the numbers. You have to know how much energy that this weapon does, which is a benefit because of you can play test weapons. In theory, you can create I do allow this, which is you can create a ship definition for your own. And in that definition, what you can do is you can specify in the definition that you want a generic torpedo weapon or a generic missile weapon. Now, missile weapons are a little more difficult because of they don't work out. The generic ones don't really work that well because what you have to do is actually It's not integrated, so you cannot say, okay, well, this generic weapon, you can define what's the size, how many seeking weapons it holds, i.e., is it like a plasma torpedo or is it more like a drone type weapon where you have, you know, a rack of 4 to 6 drones or missiles or whatever, and you launch those, you know. But, you know, a generic torpedo weapon, you know, it's a weapon that gets that you fire, and then you can do it. You can do the energy allocation however you want. You know, you can actually modify, you can customize the energy allocation form yourself for your ship definition and so forth, and which is actually kind of cool. But that's one of those functionalities that there aren't that many people that actually would do that. I know there's at least one person who's done it. As is, I think it's might be Iggy who did it. The one thing that when it comes to that is that he wants the undocumented, he wants me to tell him the format of the ship definitions. Unfortunately, that's not documented anywhere. The only way to write out the document, the declaring what the format is I actually have to go through the code and figure it all out. How to describe it, you know? Okay, wasn't you? Okay, then who was it? It was somebody else, because basically they're old school in that they want to create the definition using Emacs. So it wasn't, okay, it wasn't Jonathan, yeah. Who was it? Darn it, I can't remember his name. I'm sure if he's listening to the podcast, he's screaming, "It's me, it's me." It's like, and I apologize for forgetting your name. So, but anyway, the point that I'm trying to get to, or at least I'm trying to come bring across, is that as I remove these features, it's like people want those features back, which in some cases I have to say no. For example, the one that I've been asked twice about is that people have asked for, you know, can we have it so that the games are at the top above the chat room? And for that, the answer is no. Because I was talking to about this, I think it was Marcel who I was talking to this about. And that is, I talked to Marcel about this whole issue. Apologize. And the whole, I want to try to make it more modern in that currently he's having problems with it. He does, oh, it's, you know, like I can't, you know, like one, he says one window replaces another window. That's not, it's not the case. It should never be the case. If you bring up a new game, you should have multiple games up and have multiple windows up. Now, the thing is, what I want to make it more considered modern, in my mind, at least the way I've heard it, I think it's defined as, because Lord knows, people, when you say modern, can you give me an example? You know, even the funny part was that who was it? Sean, I think Sean gave me the list of what's considered modern, and I'm going, try again. Because I think this guy, I talked about this before, where Sean came up with, said, you know, here's the modern, and basically these were all real-time strategy games. I 100% disagree that is the only format that people are interested in playing. When it comes, I would agree that people would like it so that they would not have to read a set of rules to know how to play the game. I have to agree with that. And having Chris, it's currently functional. It currently works when it comes to the client. But anyway, where was it? Oh, crap. I got sidetracked. Darn. I forgot what I was talking about. And I got distracted by Chris. That was it. And I totally disagree that real-time strategy games are the only way to go. But having it so that all of the rules can be implemented by a computer program would be optimal. Now, can that be done? When it comes to SFB, the answer is no. It would take a team of 10, probably 10 people, somewhere around 10 to 20 years of just working on the rules and interaction of the rules in between and how each of them interact with each other to actually to write that up as a program. That is, my friend, is not the case. Iggy, when it comes to Vassal, I would say is functional. that's about the best I can say about it. Because I've looked at Vassal. Vassal is it's got some. Yeah, I'll agree. The rule integration is not necessary, and I think it's impossible to do. That's why I basically defined the online client as not a game system. The online client is a tool to allow you to play SFB and FedCom with another opponent. It is a tool to allow you to do that. And in some cases, it's one tool of many. For example, I know that some people, what they'll do is they'll use we have a Discord server set up so they can use that for, I have multiple voice channels available for them to use. They can do that. Obviously, if you want to, you can use Skype. You can use Zoom if you want, just for fun. Remember one thing about Zoom. You don't have to use it for video. I know that's a strange idea, but you don't have to use it for video. And I say that because of, in my day job, that's how we use it. We rarely actually put the video on because it's so rare that we actually need to see another person's face. And usually our focus is not on the other person. The focus for most of the meetings I'm in is seeing what's on the screen of someone's computer, whether it is, what's the latest changes that, that they're trying to demo, or it's a sprint. Where we need to see what updated the stories and the tasks related to those stories. So we just go on the screen. We see the list of different tasks that need to be done, and as we go through the list. So there's no reason to see the people's faces. And to be honest, I think some of what's called Zoom fatigue is because of that. And actually, my wife will bear that out for her because she's she's a therapist. And being a therapist, a lot of people, they want to do it, face to face. And I can understand that. And a lot of times I think that's very valuable when it comes to therapy and actually talking to somebody, seeing the person's face. I agree. When it comes to what I call levels of understanding and communication. Number one of any kind of communication, the top dog, top, above everything else, in person, face to face. That is top when it comes to, you get the most inputs to actually understanding, because it's not just voice. It's not just seeing each other. It's seeing how the person's body reacts to certain things you say and do. That's a nonverbal form of communication, And that can be easily seen when you're in face-to-face. Then next, that is video chat. Then after video chat is voice chatting, you know, talking over the phone. Next after that is email. After that, we got Slack. And then the lowest form of communication is a text message. Lowest form. And the reason why I say that is because there's so many misunderstandings that can happen over a text message. The context is so much times can be, I'm not going to say ruined, but the issue is there's so many distractions with that, that you don't have, you know, that you, the context might be lost in the texting back and forth. Yeah. Oh, Iggy, yeah. Iggy's just saying that he teaches online now and he does video, but his students don't do it, which is fine, I think, because you're basically a presenter. And I think that is perfectly fine. I agree that I'd want not require students to have their cameras on. My sister-in-law, she teaches also, but her school is paranoid. Her school is paranoid in that they want a complete record of her recording. Now, dude, I'm willing to bet you nobody actually looks at those videos. Because the reason why they want people to record it and then upload it is because they want to have it so to prove that the teacher actually taught the class. Now, I understand that from a certain perspective, because in theory, you can say, oh, I had a class, and then you are out, you know, going to a movie. Though in this day and age, if you went out to a movie, you'd be in trouble. the whole pandemic, though, that's, you know, hopefully that'll be opening up soon. But I know she's actually caught some of her students that, you know, even though they weren't, she could not see them, but she knew, like this one student she caught that basically, He wasn't paying attention at all to what the class was about. So, that is true. Iggy, that's very true. He's just saying that Chris was mentioning, you know, the student. Basically, it's the same. I just came with a situation with my sister-in-law, where the students, you know, they almost are required to have video so that they can prove that they're there. But in the case of Iggy, he's teaching, but the people pay for the class, which means they have money in the game. They have stake in that process, which is to let you know, at one point I actually did Amway. There's some great things about it, and one thing they taught me, and I believe this to my soul, free is worth nothing. People look at something that's free is worth nothing. They have no skin in the game. The only way to have it to appeal, it doesn't even have to be a lot. It doesn't even have to be hundreds of dollars. All you need is a little bit of money, $10. Have them say, okay, I'm going to go to this class. How much is it? $10. Okay. For the people who don't have $10, or $10 is considered a sum, there's lunch right there for them. It means something. You know, people who are rich, $10 is nothing. It's like pocket change. But still, you got skin in the game. People who value money you know, even something as little as $10 is worth, you know, and that's one way to get people to show up for classes, you know. But anyhow, where was I? I'm sorry, but I got sidetracked. Chasing down that rabbit. Well, but okay, so the online client, you know, the modern versus functional. I think I understand what people mean by modern. Because there are certain issues that I would really like to do, but I'm not sure how to do it. One of the things I think I've mentioned before that I've wanted to do when it comes to making it more modern, and I'm not sure this is even possible, that is the whole idea of each ship is a separate window. And guys, please, you know, if you think this is totally moronic, please tell me. But I want it to be more like some of these more modern games, in that what the idea is that you have a ship or unit. You can click on the unit, it pops up information, and then you might have tabs for different information about that ship, about that unit. And that's what I want to do with, SFB Online. Instead of having it so you have a single tab that has all the ships, and then you go through the tabs of the ships, and then you have to go through another tab to find out information about that, the individual ships. Like, okay, you got the expendables tabs that has all the expendables for all of the ships. So if you want to look for expendable for if you're looking at an SSD for a ship, and then you want to find out the expendables for that ship. Now you have to go to the tab of that ship, or the expendables tab, or floating window, because that's, I still allow that ability. And then you have to go for the tab for that ship. Which, if you think about it, it's kind of crazy. It's not as nice when it comes to, if you're just looking up for the information about that one unit. Now, that's the beautiful part about that. Problem is that in the case of how many people actually look at the expendables, and normally when you look at the expendables, are you looking just at the expendables so that you can have a fleet situation? Are you looking at expendables for everybody, or are you looking up the expendables for a single ship? Or basically the status of a single ship. The whole idea being that you are just looking for information about a single ship instead of having to dig through multiple tabs to find out the information that you want to find out about the ship. And is there extraneous information that really doesn't need to be shown that much? For example, one of those things that I'm not sure people really look at that much during a game, even though it's pretty prominent, is drone rack storage. You can see the storage. Actually, I think at this moment in time, it's actually a separate tab, so you can have I'm sorry, I've not looked at the screen for a while. I think it's down the bottom of the screen. How often do you actually need to look at that? Really? Unless you're actually loading up your drone racks, or you're looking at a really long battle, you're not looking at the storage, drone storage at all. When it comes to tournament battles, you know, duels, one-on-ones, the whole idea of making it so that all the information is part of a single floating window, I think makes a lot of sense. Now, I know John's reloads. But again, the question is, when it comes to reloads, is do you need to know what is available before you try to start to reload? Or can you just rely on the client, you know, drop down, okay, what reloads are available? You know? Right. Oh, I understand. Yeah, but after the start of the game, when do you look at it again? And you know, John's saying reloads. But, you know, these are things that I'm doing my best to remove, things that weren't used. Like, for example, one I've brought up in the past, of course, is recording functionality. No one was using that, so I got rid of it. You know, it allows you to actually record a game, record each action, each thing that happens part of the game. The whole idea is that you could then play it back. Which is kind of cool. You know, it's and the things I had not looked at it for ages, so I might have broken it and not know. But you know, things like that, you know, where I'm trying to simplify it, and I'm using an Apple-ish approach, saying, you know, that I know what's best for people, what people want, you know, and therefore, i.e., limit the number of options that are currently available. You know, one of those things that I'm pretty sure I removed. Originally, when it comes to the plugins, I call them plugins, basically for each game type that's available. The library, you actually could change the location where things were down, you know, looked for. Previously, they were downloaded. That caused issues because of people would download all the definitions and then cancel their subscriptions. Because at that point, you can play it, you know, offline, you know, without having to pay a dime after that point. Which means they weren't using the way I designed it to be used. So I had to remove that whole functionality there. But it still has the ability to load ships from a local library, and previously you could actually specify the location of that. And I removed that functionality. I think pretty sure I removed that functionality just because of it was additional options that nobody was using, and you know, it's just more options to confuse people. And one more thing I have to look at to make sure people aren't doing something silly, you know, when it comes to debugging issues. But yeah. So, you know, it's always going to be tug of war, I feel like, with online client. As I try to modernize, I'm also going to be getting pulled back from the more seasoned individuals, and they're saying, "Oh, don't change it." Well, do we want more new players or not? That's one of the reasons. As I know, Chris, you've seen it, and I've shown it to those people who's on watching the video. They know I've shown it on the video feed. That ability to, you know, the new look and feel, which is I really like it. It's simplified. It's sharp. It makes it look what I consider more modern. So it no longer. Because to me, what's considered more modern is something that's built from Unity or I'm not even sure the Unreal Engine does it, you know, from Epic Games. But the whole idea being that there are no real windows anymore. You draw them yourself. You know, it doesn't look like the windowing operating system itself. I think that's where what people think of when it comes to think of modern. You know, there's a certain look to the game. And unfortunately, I'm still rely a lot on the operating system, how the operating system has windows and things look. And so I figured that's one way of easily changing the look and feel so it looks a little more modern when it comes to that. Just to bring up a small secondary topic, just real quick, before we end this wonderful, wonderful show, and that is Starfleet Warlord. One thing that also happened this week was that I got a video. I'm not going to show it here because of Dirk said he was going to post it. I've yet to see him post it. Probably got busy with some other things. And that is just some additional progress when it comes to the Starfleet Warlord, you know, the work that him and his college students have been doing, which is interesting because I was hoping that it would be a lot farther along by this point in time than it is. But, you know, Dirk is very, very excited about his college students. And here's the concerning part about what I have is that these college students that are currently working in JavaScript and basically the modern technologies that are being worked on, that they're going to take those skills and go, Dirk, thank you for everything. You know, I'm sorry, but I got a real job, and that's where I'm going to be putting all my effort and so forth, and I don't have time for the side project that you're working on. In which case, things get delayed even more, you know. So, should be interesting. But anyway, the one thing about it is that Dirk was very, very excited about it, is that there was some progress on the processing of the report. Because he does things which are, I think, silly. But it's the way he designed it. He designed it basically to take the report that you get at the end of each turn. Then, after that, it will process that report, and then do everything, you know, from the scans, sector scans. It'll read the sector scans. It will read the ships, you know, the ship locations, because, you know, it has a certain format when it comes to those. So, you know, you can do that. I forget there was a bug which I fixed when it comes to that. It's been a while. But anyhow, so he was really excited because one of his workers, he got some more progress on it, which is really great to see. I started to watch the video. I never got to finish watching the video because I realized after I started it, it wasn't this short, like a 5-minute video. It was a 15-minute long video. And at that point in time, I did not have the 15 minutes to watch the full video. But I'm wondering, Dirk says he's going to post up on his website and also post a link into the Starfleet Warlord group. Post it on the Facebook group there, which, be honest, the only reason I'm on Facebook is because of that group. That's the main portion. And then, of course, there's the SFB Online group. Those are the two main reasons why I'm even there at all. Yes, I detest Facebook. So, it is what it is. You know, not a lot of my family are on Facebook. There, I have currently my one sister-in-law. Actually, I have two of my sister-in-laws. My two brothers are not on Facebook. My sister and her husband are not on hardly any technology whatsoever. I'm not sure if... I don't think she even has a smartphone. I think she has a flip phone when it comes to cell phones. So, though... Where is it? I have one, too. But, yeah. But mine's a good reason because that's my house phone. Trust me, we tried a while back where we had like a Google Voice number, and you would use that for the home number, and it would ring people's cell phones. The problem was with that is that if someone was at home and wanted to call out, and they didn't have a cell phone, or even if they did have a cell phone, you know, if they didn't have a cell phone, then you have a problem. And this was when the kids were younger. The problem was not that. The problem was when we wanted to call the house and then have it picked up by somebody. You know, we couldn't we could call people's numbers, but we don't know who's at the house, who's not at the house. You know, in the case of, if it was my sister-in-law was there, I can't call her cell phone number. Her cell phone is from Costa Rica. So I can't call her cell phone, you know. So what do you do then, people? What do you do then? That's why I got that. Also, it's my kind of spammer line. It's a long time to get that as my contact information for many things. So that if someone ever tries to contact me, they get that phone instead of my cell phone. So anyhow, I think with that, I will wrap up for this evening. It's been a pleasure with the people in the Twitch chat room, you know, Iggy and Chris. I think that was it at the moment. Yeah, actually, Dave's there, but he hasn't really been posting all that much. He's probably just listening in. Hi, Dave. So we had a nice little discussion about the online client and the struggles between, you know, the future and the past, basically. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.